You're listening to the Equitopia podcast, helping horses and humans live in harmony. I'm your host, Kaylee Hansen, and today our guest is Eileen Fuller. She is a certified saddle fitter through the Society of Master Saddlers in the UK. She was born and raised in Ireland, where her family owned a livery in the late 1700s to 1900s. Currently living in Illinois, she is also trained in equine sports massage, nutrition, and bridle and bit fitting. She uses her depth of knowledge to provide comfort and freedom of motion to both horse and rider through proper saddle fit. Our conversation is going to be coming right up, but first, a message from Caroline, the founder of Equitopia.
The internet is jam-packed with information and opinions on how to care for your horse, but how do you know what to trust? Equitopia membership programs are especially designed for busy people who want research and evidence-based resources and support for the best horse and rider experience. Our members tell us that they love Equitopia's amazing whole horse, whole rider resources that are available 24/7 from anywhere in the world. We are humbled by the many testimonials from horse people who tell us that Equitopia was the missing piece in their horsemanship journey and that our platform has changed their lives and the lives of their horses. We would like to offer you 50% off of your first month in any of our membership plans and start becoming a better informed equestrian today with our exclusive members' webinars, videos, the Equitopia Academy, and much more to support you on your journey. Just go to equitopiacenter.com and use the code PODCAST in the checkout to get your membership at half price for the first month.
How did you get into horses and into the industry?
I grew up in a country where it was everything horses. Mm-hmm. Horses have been in my family since the 1800s. On my dad's side, we had a hackney business, and that ran from the 1800s through to the mid, sorry, from the 1800s through to the mid 1900s, and then the car got introduced. So. That kind of went by the wayside. Then friends just saw hacking and riding. Been in my life pretty much the whole time. I did take a break to go to school, and I got back into it in my late 20s, early 30s, and I bought my first horse at 35, and it's been a constant since then, and that's been about 20 years.
Oh, wow. And how did you get into saddle fitting?
So that kind of just evolved. So Kate Ballard is a really good friend of mine. She is also an SMS fitter. And she came over to the States in 2002. And I met her in the summer of 2003. I'm also a hairstylist and I still work as a hairstylist. So I started doing her hair and I was saying, you know, I'm getting a bit burnt out. I need something different. She was like, hey, there's an opening at Barrington Saddlery. You should apply. So I did. So I worked there. I started there the spring of 2014. And her schedule was crazy. So she was like, do you think you'd want to come out with me fitting just to help me out? I'm like, yeah, sure, if they allow me. So they did. And we had so much fun. And I started to go out more and more with her, and she was like, you know, you really have a good eye for this. You should, you know, consider doing this on a more seriously. So I thought, oh my gosh, I'm in my 40s. Why do I need to start a whole new career? And then I'm like, well, I'm doing it anyway, so why not, right?
Yeah.
And so I apprenticed down to her. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal saddle fitter, super knowledgeable. She's also a master saddler, so I mean, any questions I've ever had, she was always there for me. In 2017, we both left Barrington Saddlery, and we went to another saddlery shop. And in 2018, I went back to the UK and got my degree, which is a City and Guilds. It equates to a associate degree in this country. Here I am. I started my own company in January 2019.
Oh, cool. What were the specific things that you just loved about the saddle fitting?
So for me, it was making the change in these horses' comfort, just to see how different they moved. You know, you see it in their expression, in their face, in their gaits, the way they carry themselves, night and day, night and day.
I've definitely found that. It's really profound when you can suddenly make everyone's lives much more comfortable.
Right, and even the writers, just watching how more effective they can be with their A's and with their seat, and just, you know, helping these horses move actually in the way that they should.
That makes a lot of sense. A few months ago, did a saddle fitting, and I rode, and I think, like, 10 different saddles on this horse. And they're all saddles that, you know, putting them on looked like they would fit. And it was just amazing how big of a difference right. he felt and how I felt, and what worked for him didn't always work for me. And then finding that right balance. It's like, oh, it's nice not having to fight the tack.
Right. And you can get your job done so much better. And more efficient. The key is just you have to understand the horse's conformation, and you have to understand what tree and panel works for that horse best. And then we can work on the rider, the seat, the block, the flap, you know, all of that stuff.
That makes a lot of sense. Have you found a connection back to your family working with the Hackneys and then the saddle fit?
No, I can't say there is, because they were all carriage, you know, they were basically a taxi service. So it was all, you know, the whole setup rig to pull something as opposed to have a horse on the back.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense then. What's like a common problem that you run into when you're saddle fitting? That's common with the horses or the saddle or the rider?
You know, it's the shape of the tree. It's down to the tree shape and the panel for the horse. And then a lot of times, sometimes that may be okay, but the rider is struggling. So therefore, it's, you know, it's just a wrong combination between horse and rider.
Mm-hmm.
I have some clients who think, oh, I can ride in anything, just fit the horse. Well, no, you can't, because, you know, we need to be able to give you a platform, whereas that you're not interfering with the horse's movement, and the horse is not compensating his way of going to keep you up there, because, you know, or to keep himself balanced, because you're up there and you're not balanced.
Mm-hmm. So is that why oftentimes certain people will love a certain brand of saddle and then other people hate that brand of a saddle?
You know, I can't put it down to a brand, because I do believe that every manufacturer do make their saddles in different trees. And panels and seats and blocks and flaps, I put it down to not knowing your product. So if you don't know the product and you don't know how it's made and you don't know how it's constructed, how are you going to know what fits each horse and rider best?
Okay. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. So with your horse that you ride, did you practice a lot on like the saddle fitting for your horse, or how did it impact you? In your riding?
So my first horse that I purchased, that I had a set fitted professionally, and that was fitted by Kate. So I can't say I ran into a problem with that, because I knew better to try and fit the saddle myself.
What was the process for getting certified and learning everything?
So it's 3 to 5 years of apprenticeship. And then you go to the UK and it's a full week of theory and practical.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 2 days is your finals for practical and theory. It's quite intense. It's very intense. And the passing rate is quite low. So to be honest with you, I was quite shocked when I found out that I did pass the first time. but yeah, it's quite intense.
Yeah. And so is that through the government, or what is the agency to get
certified?
So
it's the Society of Master Saddlers.
Uh-huh.
And it is, it's a degree. It goes through their educational program, their government educational system.
Okay.
And you either pass or you fail.
Here in the US, it seems like there's a lot of like weekend certification. So is the Master Saddlery, is that a international organization that people can get certified through?
Yes. There is an international, they do a couple of times a year. They come over and they do what is called an introductory mm-hmm. into saddle fitting. And then you have to then find, which there are not many of us, a Society of Master Saddlers, saddle fitter, and apprentice under them. And it takes about 3 to 5 years, depending if you're doing it on a full-time or part-time basis.
Okay. Yeah, that's really labor intensive. Mm-hmm. So there's not very many people in the U.S. that are certified.
I believe there, to date, are 30. There's 31 or 33 of us.
Okay. Country. A little bit hard to find then.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any advice for when people are trying to find a saddle fitter, of like how to figure out if they're going to be a good match?
So my advice would be to find an independent saddle fitter, someone who is not tied to a brand, mm-hmm. Who has access to several different saddle makers, mm-hmm. And just learn your product and learn about the horse's conformation and how they're supposed to move and biomechanics and all of that stuff. So in the SMS, we're actually trained to, you know, information, gait analysis, you know, how the horse is supposed to move, biomechanics of the horse, biomechanics of the rider. And it does encompass a lot of, you know, that whole, it's not just about putting a saddle on a horse and like, say, okay, off you go, tally ho.
Mm-hmm. Can people still find saddles that'll fit their horse and be fitted to fit their horse on like a lower budget?
Absolutely. I cater for everybody's budget. I have several brands that I bring in mm-hmm. that are really nice saddles for the price. And they can be fitted for less than $2,000.
Yeah.
If you're going to go for something used, mm-hmm. you know, you got to make sure that the person selling it is being upfront and honest. If there's any, you know, make sure the tree isn't broken, make sure there's no rivets out, make sure the stirrup bars are sound. I've had a lot of people contact me asking me if I would fit a saddle that they bought online. Mm-hmm. And several of them, they had broken trees, you know?
Oh.
So, yeah.
Is that more common than people think? Trees?
I don't think people realize that their tree is broken to begin with. And then they're like, the saddle doesn't work for my horse anymore. I'm just going to sell it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I've had some where the rivets were out. Stirrup bars weren't safe. So I actually did stop fitting saddles that people purchase online.
Because
I'm now giving them the bad news of, oh my God, you just spent $1,000 on the saddle and it's no good. It's going to cost you another $1,000 to replace the tree or the seat or whatever.
Yeah.
So my advice would be find yourself an independent fitter who has a great reputation. People, if you want to have references, your clients should be more than happy to, you know, talk to somebody and let them know about their experience with the fitter. Just do your research.
Okay. So what is your process when you're fitting a saddle? Like, what are kind of the steps that you take when you're, like, looking at the saddle, the horse, the rider?
So I put the horse will be in the aisle, and I look at the horse from top to bottom, starting at the feet, checking out any asymmetries, obviously get the riders the discipline, what they want to do with this horse. So then we start taking measurements. I pull saddles that I think will be a good fit for the horse and rider. They get to try them, and the horse will tell me if he likes it or she likes it, and then the rider will tell me, oh my God, I feel balanced, I feel secure. I feel as though I can move my pelvic, my leg, my shoulder, hip, ankle, you know, level is all in line with each other. And if they're struggling, they're struggling, and then we just stop.
Mm-hmm.
So then we move on to the next one. I have, you know, a really nice selection. Whereas that, you know I can help them out. There has been times where the issue with the horse has not been a saddle issue, and I just say it's not a saddle issue, but you need to investigate a little further.
What are signs that someone needs to get their saddle fitted, or that the saddle might not be fitting the horse or them?
A lot of times, if it's a saddle fit for the horse will tell you eventually. I've had customers where, you know, they have these beautiful horses that just stopped moving. They just stopped going forward. And, you know, they had very, very intelligent, very smart, high-level riders who knew not to keep pushing it. You know, they reached out to me and flew me out, helped them out, and now these horses are going phenomenally well. You know, it's just a matter of knowing your horse, knowing how your horse behaves, knowing how your horse moves. And if they start telling you, it's up to us to listen. You know, we just got to understand and kind of like figure out what their language is, right? If you have a horse that goes fine and then like 3 months in, all of a sudden, it's like, I don't want this on me. Swishing the tail, pinning the ears, getting tacked up, then not wanting to move forward. And it gets to the point where they won't want to walk away from the mountain block. And they've tried to tell us for months, but we just keep pushing and pushing and pushing them. And eventually they have nowhere else to go but up.
Yeah.
And that's when people are like, oh my God, my horse reared on me. What's going on? So, and you know, you can look at a horse and you can check the balance and the width, and you know, say, okay, it could be helped with a flocking. If you don't have a budget to, you know, get a new saddle right now, you know, hopefully we can help it with a pad, a corrective pad, shimmable pads, that kind of thing.
That makes sense. What would you guess the percentage of people that ride with saddles that really don't fit themselves or them, themselves or their horse?
There's quite a bit, actually. But the thing is that the people don't know themselves. You know, and I, you know, it comes down to their, you know, their knowledge, their budget. Yeah, what they're doing with their horse. Are they just happy hackers? Are they riding once or twice a week? But I feel as though there's quite a few, but with today's research and development and education, I think people are getting it and they're questioning their, you know, their own tech. I think they are starting to get it. There's so much research and development out there now that, you know, there's really no excuse for us to not know. But in the same breath, you know, it's up to us to you know, seek that knowledge out.
Yeah, most definitely. Are there any, like, interesting behaviors that clients have let you know changed that people maybe thought would have been unrelated, but then having had the correct saddle, like, something unique changed?
Absolutely. So the biggest change is horses being able to develop the muscle. And get stronger. And they, you know, because when I do my, I do tracings of every horse. And when I go back to revisit, I do tracings again and we compare. And I've had some horses that just have flourished. They look fantastic, absolutely fantastic. They're stronger, they're happier, they're healthier. The rider enjoys her rides, their rides so much more. And the horse is able to do its job.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be really fulfilling. So do you go and do saddle fitting all across the U.S. or do you mostly stay local to where you're at?
So I travel quite a bit. I'm in Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, New York. I just picked up Connecticut and a few other places in between.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I stay busy.
Yeah. Of course, and you put that in while still doing hair still?
Yep, I'm still behind a chair 2 to 3 days a week.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Gotta have the balance in life.
But then the beauty about being self-employed is that I can arrange my schedule to cater to everybody. You know what I mean? So I'm very fortunate in that aspect.
Yeah, most definitely. So one thing that I've heard, I don't know if this is true, that there's this one idea that you want to have the saddle be a little bit wider so that there's room for the horse's back and musculature to develop. Is that true or how, what's your take on that idea?
So no, I don't think putting a wider saddle on the horse is going to help it. But mm-hmm. what we do need is a channel that is wide enough for the horse's muscles to be able to move under it.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's what they mean by wider, but the channel definitely, because if you make a fist, the horse's spinal process mm-hmm. is as wide as your fist. And then you have the long distance dorsi muscle on top of that, which has three layers of muscle. So we need to be able to allow mm-hmm. enough room where that they can come up into the saddle, especially between the 10th and 13th vertebrae. And that is right mm-hmm. at the twist of the saddle. Mm-hmm. If the saddle twist is too narrow, the horse just can't do it. And that's okay. what we call the rider seat, right? So they all mm-hmm. want to, but there are things we can do now. We can put the right tree on but build the right seat for the rider.
Gotcha.
Whereas they feel as though they have that nice narrow twist where the leg hangs a lot longer and they can get it around the horse's ribcage.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, definitely wouldn't suggest putting a wider saddle on your horse because it, you know.
Yeah, definitely yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Get the proper width with the proper channel and the proper panel.
Uh-huh, that makes sense. And then what are some bad recommendations that you hear in your profession or like misconceptions that people have about saddle fit?
Oh, the young horse one, where they say you don't need to have a saddle fitted to a young horse, just pad it up and put on whatever you have, which is probably the worst thing you could ever do for a young horse that's just being started on a saddle.
Yes.
Because this is the time where we want them to feel comfortable and we want them to be able to enjoy their job without any fear of, you know, oh my God, this thing is going to hurt me, you know, and then the people saying, oh, it's a young horse, it's being naughty, just kick it on, right?
Yeah.
But it's so important, absolutely so important that these saddles fit these young horses. I just mm-hmm. had, I went out and saw a 4-year-old and a 18-hand 3-year-old.
Wow.
Massive thing. So beautiful. You know, and pulled out a bunch of saddles. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you have to go buy a brand new saddle for them. And I don't recommend anybody purchasing a saddle with a fixed tree. Definitely get something that has adjustability to it where, you know, you could change the gullet and you have some wood flocking where you can, you know, rebalance it to the horse's growing body.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely don't just throw anything on and shove a bunch of pads under it. It's just not going to work. It's not fair to them. And I have another thing where riders say, well, I could just ride in anything to fit the horse. Well, no, we need to fit both of you so that we can, you know, help the horse to carry you in a way mm-hmm. where he's not compensating for your being unbalanced on top of him.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that actually leads into the next question. I was going to ask you what you thought about the adjustable gullets.
Oh, I think they're great.
It sounds like you love them. Yeah.
They're fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Again, as long as they're fitted correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what it comes down to. It's make sure you have something that has enough clearance in the spinal process where the horse can use his body, especially in between the 13th and 14th vertebrae. Make sure it's not too long in the horse. Make sure the saddle and the rider are balanced. I mean, they work out fantastic. They're absolutely great saddles.
Oh, good. Yeah, that seems like a great option for people with young horses who can't afford to be, you know, buying a new saddle every couple months.
Absolutely. And I have people who are leasing horses, but they want to have their own saddle. And I mm-hmm. recommend this all day long. You know, this will transfer to another horse a lot easier than if you were in a fixed tree saddle.
Okay.
So, yeah. Sense. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't believe, you know, just because you can, you should.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I believe some people have a phenomenal budget, other people don't. But just because you have doesn't mean say that's going to be the right saddle at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how I look at it. Make sure the horse is comfortable and it can grow into it. Make sure it gets a good couple of years. If you're leasing a horse, then you move on to your next one. Hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, the chances of refitting and rebalancing that to a new horse is a lot better than having a fixed tree.
Gotcha. That makes sense. How often should people get their saddle fit checked?
So ideally, you should have your saddle rebalance or checked at the end of each season going into a new season. Okay. In a perfect world. But at minimum, at least every 6 months.
Okay.
In saying that, I also recommend if the horse has an injury that's coming back, it needs to be checked. If the change of rider would help recheck it, a change of feed, a change of home, all of that stuff will affect the horse and whether it's going to lose weight, gain weight, you know, all of that stuff. There's a lot of variables that goes into it. But definitely minimum every 6 months.
Yeah. And are there good resources out there for people who maybe can't afford to have their saddle checked that often where they can get the tools to at least get a better idea of how the saddle is fitting?
I'd probably recommend getting a shimmable half pad.
Okay.
That can hold them over. If they know the saddle feels low in front, that they know they can put a shim in the front and help bring it back up and take it off, take the pressure off the withers or, you know, off the trapezius muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's low in the back, have a shim where you can pick it up. If the horse loses weight, loses some top line, the saddle is sitting a bit low in the back, you can pick it up a little bit. Obviously, bridging is a different story because we're now looking at a saddle that's too narrow.
Mm-hmm.
If it's completely falling down in front, we know it's gone too wide. So therefore we need to address what's going on with the horse. Is it a weight issue? Is it an injury issue? Is it a rider issue? So again, but having a shimmable pad will help get you through until you can.
Okay. And then are there any other just common things that you run into or see when you're fitting saddles? Like whether it's maybe like anatomically with the horses or muscular development?
Not on a regular basis, but yes, I have seen horses that have changed, you know, one extreme to the other where they got extremely big and heavy. Especially they're out grazing all day. They eat grass, you know, they put on weight. And then you go into, you know, they might have had a bad winter where, you know, coming into spring where I saw them, early spring the year before and they look good. And then they went through a winter and I'm like, oh, what's going on here, right?
Yeah.
So then you have to figure out, and there are times where we do advise people to seek out veterinary professional help.
Okay, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And then I guess these questions are gonna go just more into your life experiences. But how has like a failure or a parent failure set you up for success later in life? And do you have a favorite failure?
Yeah, that's actually a good one. And this has nothing to do with horses. I started working at a hair salon and I had a lady come in and we did a consultation. I cut her hair, styled it, and she started crying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh dear God, what just happened? And basically it came down to her expectations of what she was supposed to look like after it was done. So my big thing is communication. And I don't want to say failures. I want to put them down more to as opportunities to learn from something. Because if you haven't learned from it, it's definitely a failure. But if you've learned from it, I think it's more of a curve in life that, you know, I need to make sure I am 100% communicative to these people and mirror back and find out what the expectations they have of me and what I can do for them. And I just carry that onto my setup and business. Important.
So when you were changing your career path and going into this saddle fit, what were some of those like internal things that you had to work through?
Well, I didn't change my career path. I added a new one. Basically, I've been doing hair for 40 years, and I have learned so much about communication, people skills, how to talk to them, and just, you know, again, make sure that they understand that I am human and I cannot make their, you know, backyard pony into a Grand Prix horse, right? It's, you know, what are your expectations? What are you expecting from this? Just be real and be honest. I will be as honest as the day is long. You may not like what I have to tell you, but it will be the truth.
Yeah.
And people love that or they hate it.
I'm sure you can run into that if people are kind of, they think the saddle fit is the issue and then they realize that it's not. I'm sure that could bring up a lot of emotions for some people.
Right. Exactly. And I just had that where, you know, this beautiful horse, beautiful, beautiful horse, a very expensive horse. And, you know, I tried saddles and tried saddles and tried saddles. And I'm like, this is not a saddle fit issue. I don't know what to tell, you know. And of course, but you have to be okay with knowing that you just can't help them all.
What books do you recommend most to people, or what books have greatly influenced you? And it doesn't have to be about horses.
Well, I do have a few that I would recommend people to read. Definitely The Posture and Performance by Gillian Higgins. She's fantastic. She is absolutely brilliant. Her books are awesome. Lots of pictures with the muscular skeletal painted out and shows you which each muscle is and basically what it does and how it works. She's fantastic. I would also suggest reading up and learning about horse nutrition. There's a good one by Ruth Bishop. Let me see what else. What other ones do I like? Oh, learn how to massage a horse. Learn how to, you know, how his body feels. Learn how to stretch him. Just learn how, you know, put your hands on there and learn just your basic massage movements, techniques that, you know, that your horse likes and helps them to relax. So I would do for that, what's his name? Masterson. Yes. James Masterson. That's a really good one to have on hand and just to read and study and, you know, watch videos, do webinars, just learn about the horse and the body and how it's supposed to feel and look and move.
Yeah, I did the Masterson Method weekend course, and I learned so much just beyond the massage. But learning how to notice your horse. Like, I thought that I noticed and was pretty in tune with my horses. But then when you just hover your hand over their body and notice when they twitch their nose or blink or get tension, and it just took this to this much deeper level that I think every horse person would benefit from.
Absolutely. I agree with you all day long.
Yeah.
And feet. Learn about the feet. Oh my God. Hoof balance is so important, and it will change how the saddle fits drastically if the foot balance is off. It will totally change how the saddle fits and how, of course, of how the horse moves. So if the horse is moving incorrectly, the saddle is not going to move with him correctly. So, I mean, feet are they're a bit of an anomaly to me. I mean, I know the angles and how they should look and all of that, but anything else apart from that, that's something I would like to dive more into. You know what? Your vet is a huge resource. I used to shadow my vet. I'm sure she thought I was crazy, but I'm like, no, I want to learn more. I want to know, you know, a little bit more about what I'm doing. So I shadowed her. I actually shadowed quite a few vets, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they love to share their knowledge. I love to share mine. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to allow people, especially the young kids coming up. You know, I'm sure they would love to have them out with them.
Oh, I bet. It's really helpful. Do you ever recommend people to get their horses adjusted or massage bodywork session a bit before you have a saddle fitting?
It's funny you should ask that question. So I would say no, because I don't want that to influence the saddle fit.
Okay.
Because if there's something going on with the saddle and it's causing the horse to be sore or, you know, tender or twitchy or whatever, I'd rather make sure that what I'm checking for is not influenced by the horse feeling good after a chiropractic treatment or, you know, a massage. Because then that can just kind of like skew what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about if you're finding a new, like getting a totally new saddle for the horse? Then would that be helpful? Or do you just want to see the horse, how the horse usually carries their body?
Absolutely. Because what will happen is if I put something on, the horse is going to change. That fits him and he's comfortable in. The horse is going to change how he moves. It doesn't happen within the first 5 minutes, but as the ride goes on, they will definitely let you know how they're feeling. Example, yesterday I did a saddle fitting for this another beautiful big warm blood, and first saddle was put on, and I'm looking at him like, saddle pad is doing some weird stuff. Is it the pad? Is it the horse? And I thought she was fighting her seat. I'm like, you know, I think we need to move on from this. So then I put her in another one, and instantly the horse just went long and low and strided out beautifully. She looked fantastic. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is such a difference.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to be able to look and say, you know, even though you don't know that horse particularly, that might be your first time seeing that horse, you still need to understand how horses are supposed to move. And when, you know, if I see a rider up there struggling and I'm like, are you adjusting your seat? What's going on? Are you trying to get comfortable? It's not going to work. I'm not going to try and say, convince you that saddle is the saddle. I'm like, nope, move on to the next one. And so, but actually the second one I put on her, she was like, okay, I'm feeling a little something, which I knew I could go in and adjust the flocking to just get it to sit a little bit lower so she would be a little more comfortable. And as soon as I did that, she was like, this is amazing.
Aw.
You know, so, and then I had another lady who, she picked up her brand new bespoke saddle. She had been riding in my demo for the 3 months while it was being made. And she called me up. She's like, oh my God, I hate it. I hate the saddle. I'm like, oh dear God. Like, don't panic. I'll come out. And this is why I always recommend that I deliver the saddle and do a reassurance fitting check.
Yeah.
And it was just a matter of, you know, moving some flock at the back of the saddle.
Okay.
Put it back on her. She sat there, she's like, oh my God, thank you. And that's what I mean about knowing your product and knowing how to fix a situation that may arise. So what I do is when you fit a horse with a saddle that fits them well, they're going to change very, very quickly. So what I do is especially when it's a bespoke saddle, right? You're spending a lot of money. It better fit when it comes in. So what I do, I suggest is, here's the saddle that fits your horse today. I know this horse is going to change within the time that the saddle is going to take to be made. If it's going to ride in the saddle that you're purchasing. So basically what happens is, so then the new saddle will come in, they ride in it for 2 to 3 months, and the horse is completely changed. It's probably 99.9% of the time it's going to get wider because it can build all that muscle. And we're talking about a fixed treat. So I recommend that I take the order, put my order in, it's in the queue to get made. Ride in the saddle. I'm going to come back in 2 months, remeasure your horse. And if I need to change anything in the measurements, I can do without being sent back to the back of the line. As far as, like, you know, the time's going to take for the saddle to be made. And I guarantee mm-hmm. you, they change all the time. It's very gotcha. Important. Even though we can only fit the horse that is presented to us on the day, because mm-hmm. we can't predict how they're going to change, but we know they will, but we just don't know how much. So mm-hmm. that's what, especially when it comes to a bespoke saddle, I always recommend that.
Gotcha.
As an added expense, because they have the least saddle, but definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems like it would help the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
So, research. Research, research, research. Scientifically proven research. You cannot go wrong. Mm-hmm. Research everything, and that's what I do. Practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. And honesty. Just be honest, no matter how good, bad, or indifferent it's going to be. Just you have to be honest. And do not try to fake it. If you don't have the answer to something, be honest. People will have so much more respect for you if you don't know the answer to the question. But, you know, give me 24 hours. I'll have an answer for you. I just don't have it right now. You just have to be honest, upfront and honest. And do your research. I research everything. Yeah. I research everything. I'm about to introduce a therapeutic, I don't want to say the name, mm-hmm. But I researched it for a good year. I grilled people on how they felt it did for their horses. Mm-hmm. And it's a very expensive piece of equipment. So yes, I'm going to research mm-hmm. it. And I think I will introduce it to my saddle fitting practice, but it's not something that I will be doing before a saddle fitting, because I don't want that to influence the fitting of okay. the saddle.
That makes sense.
But do your research and mm-hmm. be honest.
Cool.
And learn. Surround yourself with knowledgeable people.
Yeah.
Be a pain in their butt. Ask them questions all the time.
There you go. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. That's what I want.
Ooh, another question. How do people find the right type of girth? Because I've heard anatomical girths are bad. I've heard anatomical girths are good. How can someone find that?
Well, it depends. Yep. It just depends. You got to learn. You have to know the conformation of the horse. You have to know about the girth groove, which is it a sprung rib cage? Is it flat rib cage? You know, where does the girth groove sit? The only thing, when it comes to a long girth for a jumping saddle, you kind of have to have the elastic. But when it comes to a dressage saddle, okay. I don't recommend elastic at all. It just does not connect the horse and the saddle well. It mm-hmm. creates way too much movement. But you just got to know how your horse is built. And again, you can go out there, do your research, and you know, take pictures of your horse and study it and see, okay, is he what we call a roly-poly? Like your little short quarter horse? Short little cob? You know, is it a tall, lean thoroughbred? Mm-hmm. They're all going to have different girth groups.
If people want to learn more about you, or if they want to contact you for a saddle fitting, where can they find you?
They can find me at freedomofmotion.net, or they can find me on Facebook, Freedom of Motion Equine and Saddle Services, or they can call me on 630-945-6524.
Perfect. All right. Anything else you'd like to say?
You know, just listen to your horse. They do talk. We just got to figure out their language. Horses are not mean. You know, some people say, oh, my horse is a pain in the butt. He's this, he's that, the other. You know, they're not. They're trying to tell us something. You know, they don't have that frontal lobe in their brain, so they don't know how to be mean in the sense of, you know, yes, there are some who are, you got a little something going on upstairs. That's not quite right. But in general, they don't come out of the stable in the morning saying, mm-hmm. I'm going to get you today, right? I mean, they are trying to tell us that, you know, something is mm-hmm. not right. Help me, please. So just learn to read your horse. learn their moods, learn how they react, study them on the cross ties, you know, when you're grooming them, they're getting a little tail swishy, are they not happy? You know, a lot of times horses have hind of inflammation, that'll change how they go, you know, they're a little ulcery. You just gotta be able to study your horse and know your horse.
I thought of another thing. Bridle fit.
Uh-oh.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
I sure can. It is almost as important as a saddle fit. We have got to stop squeezing their brains. We have got to get the buckles off of the TMJ. You've got to get the noseband in the right spot. It's such a sensory thing that's on them. A lot of people think that the horse has head shakers. A lot of times it's not. It's just removing the pressures from those cranial nerves. Very important. I check everybody's bridle, whether they like it or not. I check everyone's bridle. And sometimes it's just as easy as, you know, let's drop it down one noseband down a buckle. You need a shorter cheek piece. I do check the bit as well, just to make sure that, you know, there's no interference. If it's too low, too high, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yes, I do think the bridle is just as important as the saddle. And there's a lot of really nice bridles out there now.
Mm-hmm. And how much tension do you find works for having the bit? I know some people like to have the bit, like there's the two wrinkles, or they like to have it pretty firm. Others like to have it loose. Does that just depend on the horse, or do you have a preference?
So it really depends on the horse. Some horses have very short smiles and they're very hard to fit a bit to. Sometimes it depends on the size of the ring. A lot of times I recommend that people go to a bradoon because they're trying to get the ring from interfering with the noseband. And if you go to a smaller ring, you've solved that problem without having the bit sit too low.
Okay.
Generally, two wrinkles is my go-to, but again, it depends on the conformation of the horse's mouth, its cheeks, its lips. Does it have a big smile? Does it have a short smile? But again, just, you know, if it looks right, if the horse feels right in it, I think you're good. If the horse is fussy and fighting it, then maybe you need to adjust it.
Yeah, and you were saying that there's a lot of great brands and products out there for bridles. So have you found that the, like, anatomical ones work better?
Absolutely. As long as it's the, you know, it doesn't have to, again, you don't have to spend $1 million. You just got to make sure you have the right size. Unfortunately, bridles are still made back in the 1700s where, you know, it was one size for a cob, one size for a foal, one size for an extra foal horse. The way we've bred horses lately, in the last 20 years, or if not a little bit more, their heads are not kind of, it's not a straight cob or a pony or, you know, a thoroughbred or a warm blood. You kind of have to, sometimes you have to mix and match. So if you can find, you know, do your measurements, figure out what you need. Does it need a full head stall? Does it need a cob noseband? Does it need a 9-inch cheek piece? A lot of the full horse sizes will come with 11-inch cheek pieces, and they're up around their ears, you know. So you can definitely find your old bridles, mix and match, get the pieces, parts together, and get something that fits comfortably.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you don't have to spend $1 million. And I know some of them, they come and they're all this, they're splingy and they're this, that, and the other. You still want to make sure you find something that has a quality leather, whereas that it's not such a bad leather where, you know, oh, cheek piece broke off and here I am now in the field in a gallop and I got nothing.
No one wants to be in that situation.
So, quality, definitely find something with good quality.
Cool. Great. Well, thank you so much.
As a horse owner, I always wanted to take the best care of my horses so that riding them was comfortable for them. In the beginning, I didn't realize how complex that care really was. I assumed if I reached out to professionals, they would guide me in the right direction. However, I found out the hard way that it is not that simple. Finding the right professionals can be challenging, and I did not know enough myself to discern appropriately qualified professionals and advice that was accurate. As a result of my experiences and finding that others had similar issues, I decided to start Equitopia as a whole horse, whole rider, evidence-based informational platform that I wish I had access to myself from the beginning. I would like to invite you to visit us at equitopiacenter.com, where you will find this information provided in the form of webinars, blog posts, research papers, and more.